This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death for teens in the United States. And in 2011, about 2,600 teens aged 16 to 14 were killed, and more than 290,000 were treated in emergency departments for injuries suffered in motor vehicle crashes. Fortunately, teen motor vehicle crashes are preventable, and there are proven strategies that can improve the safety of young drivers on the road. Joining us to share one such strategy are registered nurse Kim Nasby, the Trauma Injury Prevention Coordinator, and registered nurse and paramedic Jerry Morrison, the Trauma Outreach and Education Coordinator for the Trauma Department at Upstate Medical University. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
So, Jerry, teens have a very high percentage of auto accidents in this country. Tell us about that.
Well, teen drivers are twice as likely to go through and have a fatal car accident than every other age group combined. And there's a lot of factors that play into it. They are much less experienced, especially in our area. We go through and we talk about motor vehicle crashes. It's not just our roadways. We are four seasons of recreational vehicles. So that plays into many of those factors. And if you think about things such as, you know, we go through and we have, you know, some in-town traffic, but a lot of rural areas with speed limits of 55 miles an hour. We've got highways at 65. So they're more prone to accidents than some people in larger cities where it's a slower traffic speed. And, you know, the weather is a major factor also.
Yeah, that can certainly contribute. So, Kim, who's most at risk? I mean, within the teen population, who's most highly at risk?
Well, in this age group, they pick 16 to 24 to target for this demographic, because most of those children are the ones that are high at risk, and most of it is boys. Boys have a higher risk than young girls, but it really is pretty close. The boys kind of skeek by the girls just a little bit for that. And really, it's the most inexperienced drivers. So it's when you first get your license, or
a newly licensed teen.
And some of those teens are actually waiting a little bit longer to get their licenses because of some of the graduated programs that we have to get your license. So some of those teens are new teens driving at 18. Mm-hmm. Versus 20 years ago, everybody at 16 got their driver's license and they were a new driver. Now sometimes your 18, 19, 20-year-olds are brand new drivers.
So that might mitigate, though, one would hope, mitigate the idea of those kinds of crashes. But the fact is, basically, new drivers are more at risk. Males are more at risk. How about teens that drive with teen passengers? More at risk?
That's a huge risk for teens, and really for anybody, but for new drivers especially. So some of the new laws that they have, where you can only have one person in the car with you, one passenger that is not a family member, those reasons are for this data that we see with these young drivers having all these accidents and sometimes even death involved in some of these crashes.
Jerry, what other factors play a role in putting teens more at risk? I mean, I read somewhere, for example, that teens are more likely than older drivers to underestimate a dangerous situation, or they may not allow enough space between cars. What are some of the other things that we've found?
Well, I mean, there's so many pieces that go with, you know, the younger drivers. To their advantage, they have much quicker reflexes than the older drivers, but they lack the experience with it.
Perhaps the judgment.
The judgment, and they just simply don't have enough time behind the wheel for routine driving, let alone all those special considerations we have here.
How about drinking?
Pretty amazing, because in the 15 to 19-year-old age group, the statistic is nearly one quarter of those fatal motor vehicle crashes go through and involve alcohol.
So it's very high.
And not old enough to legally drive, but it's one in four crashes.
To legally drive or drink in some cases, right? How about seatbelt use and things of that nature?
I think the most startling statistic on seatbelt use is non-driving passengers. And in that age group, only 55% of passengers in a vehicle are wearing a seatbelt.
Hmm. So when we run our class, we ask all the kids, how many of you wear your seatbelt? Raise your hand. How many of you make your people that are with you wear their seatbelt, please raise your hand. It is startling to see how many hands are not raised.
Because shocking, actually.
Shocking. Most of the teens now are all wearing their seatbelt. I would say when you ask that question, a lot of them are, if they're driving, they're wearing their seatbelt, especially the new drivers. However, they don't make the people in the back seat wear their seatbelts. And it's similar for when you ask how many of your parents make you wear your seatbelt while you're sitting in the back seat. It's startling to see how many children do not have to wear their seatbelt in the back seat.
Really?
Yes.
Why is this phenomenon? I read somewhere that the 100 deadliest days for teens is around graduation time. Do we understand why that is? Does it have to do with the use of alcohol, do you think?
I think that's a piece of it. I certainly don't think that's the only thing. Here at the Trauma Center, our busiest days are from Memorial Day to Labor Day for trauma in general.
But that's, I think, also explained by the fact that people are out and about,
yes,
as opposed to holed up in their house
absolutely
trying to stay warm.
Absolutely. So I think there's a lot of different factors involved. But for kids especially, it's usually from that Memorial Day to that Labor Day. And graduations usually fall around that same time. So a lot of parties happen, which some of them include some underage drinking. On top of which, the kids are out and about, like you said, much more. So they're going in their cars to get to where they need to be. We have a very mobile society, especially here in Syracuse. Mm-hmm. So in order to get to the beach, you have to get in your car and go somewhere. You don't walk, mm-hmm, right?
And so, public transportation isn't as readily available.
Correct. So these kids are piling in cars and going to the mall. They're piling in cars and going to parties and going to the beach and doing all of those things. So I think there's, you know, a usage of the vehicles.
Usage factor.
That makes a difference in those 100 deadly
days. So how, both of you, what are the factors or how can we prevent these crashes? I mean, we're going to get to the program that you guys work on. But specifically, I mean, is it a matter of really working with people to use their seatbelts? How about the not drinking and driving? And obviously, there's another factor that has come up recently having to do with technology.
Our electronic boom that we have seen just even in the past 10 years has significantly affected motor vehicle crash rates. So for our area in central New York, our distracted driving rates have actually superseded and gone over the drinking and driving rates.
Really?
Yes.
60% are distracted driving fatal accidents now.
Wow. And is that's just within the teen population or overall? Because I would think it would affect adults as well.
I don't have the particular statistic for adults, but for the teen drivers, it's
60%.
It's 60%. That's significant because if you have any teenagers that you know or around any, what are they doing? They're constantly in their nose, in their
whether
device.
They're in the car or not.
Correct. So, you know, and I have teens and, you know, I'll have five of them at the house and I walk in and it's completely quiet because they're all texting each other or doing whatever they're doing, right?
It's beyond comprehension, frankly.
They're very connected to their devices.
To their devices.
It's part of their lifeline. For them, it's part of their lifeline. So when they get into the car, they don't think twice about not using that device.
It's so whether just an extension.
Yeah. Whether it's plugging things into an adapter so they can listen to their music on their device or getting a text message, sending something, they don't think it can wait for 5 minutes while they drive to the store. They feel like they have to answer some of those things. So distracted driving is an incredibly
high risk behavior
for this age group.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, along with registered nurses Kimberly Nasby and Jerry Morrison. We're talking about teens, auto accidents, the causes, and how to prevent them. So this whole idea, though, of graduated driver licensing, which has started, that you alluded to earlier, which is to have people start to drive later or have restricted abilities, and then slowly work into it. Has that made a difference, do you think?
I think it has made a difference in the statistics of the very young and inexperienced drivers, the 15, 16, 17-year-olds who are just getting their permits. Most of the laws are based on age and not necessarily when you first get your permit. So for instance, if you have a 16-year-old that's going out to get their permit, they can't have anybody else in the car with them that is not a family member. until they're 17, then you can have one. So there's certain things. But if an 18-year-old who's never had a driver's license goes to get a permit, those rules don't apply because it's based on age. Mm. So some of those statistics, we are not able to show how much that's improved because they're so new.
Mm-hmm. So it's still, the jury's out exactly how much it's helping.
It's still happening. I can only tell you from personal experience, because I happen to have at least a couple of teenagers. It had made a difference between my first child and my second child, because my first child didn't have those rules, and my second child, who's now 18, had those rules. And it made a big difference in her ability to be aware of her surroundings when there wasn't anybody else in the car.
So because it is a complex skill to drive, you really do need to have complete attention, which is why the distracted driving thing is so problematic and scary. Let me get to your program, because I don't want to run out of time. You're doing a program right now, an injury prevention program designed to prevent these accidents. What is it called, Jerry?
Called Let's Not Meet by Accident, and it's a 1.5-hour program that we run for young school-age new drivers, and we're heavily involved, even particularly with the driver ed programs. And it, really the focus is we talk about distracted driving and impaired driving. We start by looking and hearing about a car accident. We talk about the injuries that happened in there. We talk about the long-term outcomes to the not just the young people that were in the vehicle, but to their friends and family. And we round up the program with talking about how every component that caused that accident could have been prevented.
So basically, it's an hour and a half of someone's time. It's a one-time shot, basically. And any kid who signs up basically is someone who's just either beginning to drive or maybe has been driving for a short time. So basically, how do you evaluate the effectiveness of the message to these kids? Do you think it makes a difference? Is it scare tactics or is it information?
I think it makes a huge difference for these kids, especially from the feedback that we get from the schools that participate in the program. So most of these kids come through either a driver's ed program or through their school. So anybody in our area that uses Upstate as their trauma center can come to this program. So they call the our number, and we'll give that at the end of the program for everyone. And they sign up for the program, and we see 150 kids at a time to give this message to. And I think it's really making a difference. The feedback that we get from the kids and from the schools that do participate in this program has always been incredibly positive.
And you see how many at one shot?
150 kids.
At one time?
At one time. We do it in an auditorium setting.
And how many times a year does that happen?
We try to run at least 10 programs. Sometimes we do 12. We do one a month, usually.
Wow.
And then we do on a as-needed basis. So if there's some special circumstances for certain areas that need some special circumstances, we take those on a case-by-case basis.
Last year, for example, we had a total of over 1,000 young students in that age group that participated in the program.
It'd be very interesting to be able to track, going forward, people who participated to see if going forward on their record that they had been involved, hopefully not in any kind of really serious or fatal crash, but if they perhaps had a clean record with no accidents as a result of it. It would be very interesting. Thank you both for coming in. This is very, very interesting and such important message to get out there. And give us the number real quick.
If you go to our webpage, so if you go to upstate.edu and in the search bar you put trauma, our webpage will come up and you can
get
see our phone numbers and get all the information. And again, the class is called Let's Not Meet by Accident.
Great. Thank you so much. My guests have been registered nurses Kim Nasby, Trauma Injury Prevention Coordinator, and registered nurse and paramedic Jerry Morrison, Trauma Outreach and Education Coordinator for the trauma team at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.